Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Tonight, I'm going to jump in to continuing on this series on Simplify. For those of you all that have not gotten this book yet, it's from Bill Hybels. It's called Simplify. And it basically is for anybody that might feel overscheduled, exhausted, or overwhelmed at any point in time in your life, sign me up, right? But it's back there in the bookstore. You can check those things out before and after services, usually. But that's what we're going to get into. We're going to deal with what would be lesson number 4 in this deal. And it talks about actually your job and vocation. And did you all know that you're going to spend about a third of your life at work? That's an eye-opener, isn't it? Some of y'all feel like, well, that's easy. I wish I only spent a third of my life at work because that would be like a vacation. How many of y'all feel like it would be a vacation if you only spent a third of your life at work? Yeah, you're going to spend roughly a third of your life working and at your job. And you know, your job is either going to add an incredible amount of joy and fulfillment to your life, or it is going to create an unprecedented amount of misery. And when it becomes miserable, that misery that a bad job is in your life is very difficult to overcome. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that when you were in a bad job. You just had a bad job. And it just was terrible. And it's funny because, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit, but you'll clock out, but you still don't really clock out. It's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you'd like, but you can never leave. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 18 and 19. And examining your work life is a very significant step in simplifying your life. And so that's what we're going to deal with tonight, is simplifying our life through our workplace and through our job. And it's a very practical study. I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but it's a very good practical study, and we're going to just kind of run down the gauntlet here tonight. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Here's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says about your work life. Here is what I have seen to be good. It is appropriate to eat, drink, and experience good in all the labor one does under the sun during the few days of his life God has given him, because that is his reward. God has also given riches and wealth to every man, and he has allowed him to enjoy them. Take his reward and rejoice in his labor, or be happy in their toil. This is a gift of God. How crazy is it to think that for you to be happy in your job is actually a gift from God? I mean, if you want to really just get down to the simple brass tacks of it, that one of the greatest blessings in life that you can have and experience is to be satisfied in your daily work. I mean, that is what a blessing. I mean, I know that we don't think like that because we just think, time to make the donuts, time to make the donuts. Y'all remember that commercial, Dunkin' Donuts? Are we getting a Dunkin' Donuts in Hanson? Somebody said we are, and I can't find anybody to verify that for me, but that's important. We find that out, right? We need to find that out. Church family, we need to come together and find that out. There's a Dunkin' Donuts coming to Hanson. But there's, sometimes we approach our job like the Dunkin' Donuts man. He just kind of walking through, time to make the donuts. But it says in Ecclesiastes, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. When I was reading through this and studying this, I never saw this as a reality before I really kind of looked at it and went, oh, wait a minute. That is a blessing. To go into a workplace every single day and enjoy it. That's one of the greatest blessings in our life that we can experience on a day-to-day basis. You know, there's two different kinds of people in this world when it comes to workers. People that love their job and people that don't. And there is a vast difference in those people that do approach their job in a very joyful way, because it's almost contagious. You might have heard things and people say things like, man, it's almost, I would work there for free if they'd let me. I love doing what I'm doing. Man, the team that I work with is just awesome. We're like a family there. It's just great. Everybody loves one another, takes care of one another. We got each other's back, and we do all this. And then it's just awesome. It makes you want to be a part of that team. It makes you want to be at that workplace. But if on the other side of the coin, man, my job is terrible. My boss is the worst. She is terrible. He is this. He is that. She is this. She is that. Everybody's two-faced. Everybody's out for themselves. Nobody helps each other. Nobody even knows that I'm married. Nobody knows my kids' names. You know, nothing. It's just awful. There is a huge difference between people that love their job and hate their job. But it's important for us to recognize the need for us to enjoy our job, because it helps to simplify our life. Recognizing the need for us to love and appreciate our job actually helps us to simplify our lives. Here's how it does it. How does a satisfying job simplify your life? Number one, if those of y'all that are taking notes, number one, energy. Investing the best hours of your day in a rewarding job maintains your energy level. When you get off work at a good job, you go home and you're ready to go out to eat. Right? You're ready to go to the ball game. You go home and you're ready, like, you know, you're ready to mow the grass. You're ready to get stuff done. You got energy. It's like, man, this is great. It's fulfilling. It's awesome. But investing time into a bad job drains you. Hotel California, it is awful. You have clocked out and you are now in your beautiful home with your beautiful wife and your four lovely kids who all act just perfectly the moment you step in the door, and you are miserable. I mean, I can't speak from experience because I work at a church and everything's always blessing. Right? Especially Easter. What a joy. I'm just kidding. It is a joy. It really is a joy. But it does not mean that there are not hard times. You know what I'm saying? There are days where this place will drain me. Like today is going to be one of those days. I've done a funeral today. I'm leading worship and speaking, and I'm going to be tired when I get home. It's going to be draining today. I'm not trying to cry you a river. I'm just telling you like it is. It's going to be tiresome. And sometimes when that bad job, especially if one bad day is one thing, but if you're in a bad job, you go home, it's like you can't ever get away from it. It's like you're swimming in this funk that you can't shake. You don't even enjoy the time when you get home with your wife and kids. You hate the dog, you hate the car, you hate the way the grass is growing bad, you hate the way that the treehouse sits, you should have had it 3 feet to the left. Everything is terrible. Those flowers, I never wanted those to begin with. Right? I mean, it's like, can you possibly get any more and more miserable, right? When it's time to clock out from that bad job, you won't fully enjoy anything. How does a satisfying job simplify your life? Number one is energy. Number two, there's peace. Oh, peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. A miserable job can rob you of your peace. When there's all kinds of conflict and turmoil and frustration and you're in an emotionally toxic environment at work, a very competitive environment where people are trying any which way they can to push you down so that they might get the promotion, and it's just no peace. But a good job can add to your peace. Because your energy is spent doing the task and not fighting the system to get the task done. You ever been involved in a system that it's just not productive? And you spend all of your energy fighting the stupid system to get the job done. Y'all know exactly what I'm saying. This is right, man. This is easy, practical stuff. But when everything's clicking on all cylinders, there's peace in your heart. Energy and peace. And number three, a satisfying job helps to simplify your life because you have self-confidence. A miserable job will eat away at your self-confidence through petty, jealousy, disregard, lack of respect, and all that. But a simple joy comes from fulfilling a job you know matters. There's a self-confidence that comes when you know you have completed a task that matters not only to your job or to your boss, your superiors or supervisors. It matters to your colleagues, and it matters to you. Self-confidence comes when you complete a task that adds value to your life. So if you're in a job right now, you're trying to figure out, okay, I'm here, man. I'm dotiki-ing it up. What do I do? I love my dotiki. I hate my dotiki, whatever that is. We need to align our jobs, bring those jobs into alignment. So what exactly is it that we're going to look for as Christians and as believers? What do we look for when we look for a job? And maybe you're in a job right now where you're looking for something else. Maybe you're thinking, God, please rescue me. Or maybe you're smack dab in the middle of what you think is the ideal situation. You know what? It only takes one or two people changing in your team to change that whole culture. We're going to bring our jobs into alignment in four areas. The first area of alignment is passion. We are all wired for something. Every single one of us has something that you are absolutely crazy about. David says in Psalm 139 and 14, I will praise you because I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And each one of us brings to the table a different set of ideas. Hallelujah. Different set of ideas and a different set of values, and what we see is important to us, and different passions. One of my greatest passions, especially I'm reminded of this time of year, is drum corps. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but I used to be the king of all band nerds, and so it comes out this time of year, and it just is what it is, and my family has to deal with it. I make them listen to horn lines and drum lines and all these things. I make them listen to it. Listen to this. Isn't this incredible? And they all just stare at me with that blank stare like... And it's a passion of mine. Maybe your passion is Southern gospel music. You cannot wait until the Gaithers put out their next album. God bless you. Whatever that passion might be. But we're all different. Some of us have a passion to paint, to sing, to dance. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. How interesting is it, the fact that God created us all, and we are all so different, so vastly different. But each of us carries inside us a passion, and they are diverse, they are many. But by identifying our God-given passions and finding jobs that align with them as closely as possible, we can put ourselves in position for great satisfaction. The way we align ourselves, number two, is culture. The culture of your working environment is vital. Have you ever been in the right job with the wrong supervisor? That can make a job terrible. You love your job, but you can't stand the way your boss does it. It's important. How do you know the right culture? You got to ask the right questions. You got to make sure that the truth is your friend. You got to believe that what you know is truth. Especially if you're going into a prospective job and you're kind of asking the people who work there, hey, what's it like working here? Oh, hey, the truth is your friend, right? The truth is your friend. And then I got to ask you a question, and we have to ask ourselves this: are we a culture builder or are we culture busters? Are we the ones that they warn the new people about? Because we're taking an initiative to make sure that everyone, and I mean everyone, is as miserable as us. The third way to align our job is challenge. What level do you perform your absolute best at your job? I know what you're going to say out of these three ways. I know exactly what you're going to say because I thought the same thing. And after I read this, I learned a little bit different. But what is the best and the most optimum level that you perform at when you're, one, under-challenged, when you're appropriately challenged, or when you're over-challenged? I want to see a lift up of hands. How many of y'all think you perform the best when you're under-challenged? How many of y'all think that it's when you are appropriately challenged? How many people you think you perform your best when you're over-challenged? You are exactly right. If you are under-challenged, your mind is going to wander. Right? You're going to be on Facebook like 7 hours of your 8-hour workday. And let me just tell you, that is a big waste of time. Right? It is a big waste of time. You kind of get to this point where you say, what's the point? All right, I've got the peaches in the basket. Next, what's the point? If you're appropriately challenged, there's really no punch to deal with. You might accomplish your to-do list each day, but there's really no sense of adventure. You just kind of, all right, getting it done, getting it done, getting it done, getting it done. It's dangerous because in that mode, we start believing the lie that we have very little or no need for God. But when we're overly challenged, you will do your best work. Now, you got to be careful because you'll only do your best work at overly challenged for a limited time because something in your life will give. So there's a moment in which your life will break, and it will break the wrong way. You'll find it either in your marriage, your kids, your job. Something will break, but you'll produce the best, you'll produce the most, but it's dangerous to be over-challenged for too long. So we want to find a place where we're right at over-challenged and right underneath that, so we'll call it appropriately challenged plus, right? There's excitement, there's a need for God. God, if you don't help us here, we're not going to get this done. Our energy level is high, our focus is sharp. So whose job is it then to get you to the right level or the challenge, the right challenge level at your job? Whose job is it? Is it your supervisor's? No. It's your job to get you to the place where you're appropriately challenged plus. Whose job is it to make adjustments to the way that you approach your job? It's on us. And number four, the way we align is compensation, everybody's favorite topic. But compensation goes further than just money. You can be in the right job that the pay is less than whatever, but there's still compensation in other areas, benefits and whatnot. Time off is even a great part of compensation. Luke 10 and 7 says, "Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wages." We want to align our compensation. You have to ask yourself the question, which is the question that every single college sophomore and junior starts to ask themselves, if not before. Do I want to have a job that I absolutely love and I don't make any money? Or do I want to go to school for the rest of my life having a job that I hate and have lots of money? Right? I mean, it's the pay versus passion. And we as parents have to be careful about how we raise our kids and to tell them what is valuable, what really matters. Do I want my kids to do their passion? Absolutely. Do I want my kids to starve? No. No. So what do? You find yourself in this kind of conundrum, and we use 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 to justify our need for more money, right? Because it says, "Now if anyone does not provide for his own household, and especially for his relatives, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I got to provide for my household. And we're all, you're running around in a nice car with a 4-bedroom house and 3 bathrooms, and you got 2-car garages, and I've got to provide for my... You did that. You're good. You're good. And it doesn't mean to better yourself is bad, or it doesn't mean that to want more and be blessed is bad. It just means to take a step back, take a deep breath, and find perspective, because your kids and grandkids are watching what's important to you, and how we live our lives will be modeled in the generations after us. So is it pay or is it passion? It's a tough choice. It's a tough choice. If you find yourself in a job where there is low pay but high passion, you love what you do. Some of y'all are maybe, you're entry-level teachers, school teachers. I that'll be my soapbox forever. And my sister's into education, and I can't stand how much we pay our teachers. It's just absurd to me, right? It's absurd. We all know that. It's absurd. Our teachers and educators, they do the job none of the rest of us want to do, right? You don't want to deal with them eighth graders. Good gosh. Are you kidding me? But what do you do when you're in a situation where you're in low pay and high passion? Well, simply put, you can supplement your income. Bill Hybels talks about in this book where when he and his wife first started their church, the church couldn't afford to pay them anything, so they got multiple part-time jobs. And they would work themselves silly to try to pay the bills and then get into a position where, on Sundays and times where they met as a church, they loved it. And it was like that passion exercised was enough to give them the boost they needed to do the jobs that they didn't really care for. Well, what if you're in a high-paying job? You went to school for like, I don't know, however long Pastor Michael's been going to school. And you find yourself, I mean, God, what is that, like 29 years worth of school or something? My sister's almost in the same boat. How in the world you can go to school that long? I'll tell you a funny story before I get to this last point, and I'm almost done. And it's raining, and you ain't going nowhere anyway because it's raining. So just hang with me. There was a time when I was working in the coal mines, and I was a front-end loader man. Not a very good one, but I can do it. And back in those days, I sound like it's ancient days ago, but back in those days, I was making $11.85 an hour. Now, that was back in 97, 98. And for a 20-year-old guy with nothing but a high school diploma and a little bit of college, 12 bucks an hour, pretty good money. And so we made, we did pretty well. And I was in a strip mine, and we did 4 10-hour shifts and usually an 8 on the other day. But now in the summer, we would do 5 10s and an 8. And so that's time and a half for 18 hours. I'd get my 40, and then 18 hours was time and a half. You do the math, I'm doing pretty well for a 20-year-old kid. So I live with my sister. My sister at that point in time was getting her master's degree at Western Kentucky. She was in school. She was a school teacher here at North and at James Madison. So I would write her a check occasionally and just leave it on her counter because I'm living with her. And she didn't charge me rent. My sister, she's like, no, you're not charging me. You know, you're not paying rent. My God, you're my little brother. Just stay here. No problem. Like, no, I'm not going to stay here for nothing. Here, I'll give you this. So I'd leave her a check. I'd leave her, $300, $400, $500. I'd leave her a check. Here you go. And I'd say, listen, Kelly, you're going to all this school, and I'm making so much more money than you are. And I just want you, little brothers can get away with this stuff, right? Or at least, I could with her. And I said, I'm making so much more money than you are. How much smarter do you need to be in order to make the kind of money I'm making? I was just really wrong. She's like, aha, that's funny, whatever. So fast forward to about 8 years ago, we start a church in Elizabethtown, and me and my wife are there, and we are on the staff of the church, and the church is just, we have 40 people. And so the church is giving us not what I was making at the coal mines with time and a half with 18 hours and 60 hours. By this time, my sister has completed her educational doctorate, or whatever that is, doctorate in education from Vanderbilt. Okay? I mean, she's a smart kid. And she had been promoted then to a very good job and doing very well for herself. And I'm talking to her on the phone, and I'm telling her, yeah, it's tough. We're making it. We are making it. It's tough. God's got us here. This is awesome. Just love this. And she says, do you remember? I'm not making this up. She said, do you remember that day when you said, oh, how much more money you were making than me. And that's all of that school and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I knew where this was going. I just knew where this was going. I'm like, yeah. She goes, I bet you ain't making more than me now. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. And what it really was worse, because Big Sis really got the knife to turn, and she goes, do y'all need any help with anything? Are the kids okay? Oh, yes, they're fine. Everybody is fine, right? So what do you do when you're in a high-paying job, but when you have low passion? Well, first, you don't make fun of your sister for investments. That's what you want to do, time and investing into your future. If you're in a high-paying job and you have low passion, you need to supplement your passion. This is really what I was talking about a little bit on Sunday, but I kind of individualized it Sunday, but here it's a little bit more corporate. If you are in a high-paying job and you have low passion about it, then get involved here at your local church. Get involved in doing something outside of yourself. So if the other is supplementing your income, this is supplementing your passion. Right? Find that thing that you really love to do and get in there and serve and volunteer and help. Serve and volunteer and help. And I'm going to leave you with this kind of thought. What is God saying to you? I mean, in this kind of moment of simplifying everything, what is God saying to you about your current job and how you're taking inventory? And perhaps God is at one point in time maybe tapped you on the shoulder in the middle of your job or in the middle of a job, and you felt like that you had a call of ministry on your life. And life happens and circumstances change and you think, well, that time's passed and whatever. What did you do with that moment? I'm going to tell you this, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And if God has called you to do something and to be something for the kingdom of God, it wasn't by accident that he called you. And I don't care maybe how far you think you have gone from that. There is not an expiration date on the calling of God for your life. There is not an expiration date for the call of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And God, I just ask that you would help us to bring an inventory, get an inventory going of our current vocation and current situation. And God, that we could recognize your hand even leading us to the place that we're in right now. And God, whether we find ourselves in the job of our dreams or the job where nightmares are made of, I pray, God, that your peace that passes all understanding would lead us and guide us, and illuminate your truth to us. Illuminate your will to us, God, that our steps would be sure-footed, that our steps would be secure, that our decision-making would not be something of passion, of rogue passion, but God, that our decision-making would be anchored in your will. And we thank you, Father, for who you are again and again and again, because you're good. Oh, you're good. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.